Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest-running Dynasty-focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week, we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the peak. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade at X5, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Bobby Koch, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Session 89 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and the first podcast of 2020. I almost said 2019, and that would have been very wrong. We almost had a podcast last week, but I New Year's a little too hard, so every day last week became awful. So I am glad that A, Brian is back. I am glad B, that Bobby does not hate me for ditching him like 4 days in a row. So this is a wonderful day of reunions and of friendship, just like all New Year's should be. I'm not about to start singing All Blank Sign or anything like that, but I thought about it. So first and foremost, Brian, I haven't spoken to you in forever. Take that swig of beer and tell me, how is your New Year's? How you doing, man?
Good, man. On the mend. We went hard during the holidays, too. Just running and visiting family and doing a lot of fun activities. Also caught a cold, which sucked, but feeling a lot better now and excited to get back into this thing.
This thing, he says.
Our thing.
All right, that's fine. Whatever. How you doing, Bobby? You have a wonderful new haircut. You look great.
Thanks. It's actually, so I told you guys before we got on the show, it was a bad haircut. I had to do a bunch to fix it. And then what ultimately ended up fixing it, this is the ultimate secret for hairstyling, guys. Put your hood up on your hoodie, let your hair get messed up a little, and then it looks like that intentional bedhead look that every guy supposedly goes for. And that's it. Don't fix it.
You get that, Brian?
Man, I
Brian has a lot to work with over there.
Listen, I feel honored. I'm sitting with two gentlemen here with outstanding hair stuff. I don't know what is in yours, Russ, but
it always
looks amazing. And Bobby looking sharp with the new cut. All good. And me over here with maybe like, I don't know. I got probably like 24 hairs on my head or something.
But to be fair, I don't think we've been recording together for what, a year and a half, more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've worn a hat every single episode.
Probably. That's probably why there's not so much hair on there anymore.
Just saying, you got to let whatever locks you have flow freely.
Let it flow. Let it flow.
And do one of these that people can't see. Or like,
okay.
Get your head wet.
We're off to an amazing start to the 2020 year.
Yay. Okay. Well, we don't need to do the interview thing because Bobby's been on like two or three times already. But before we get started, Bobby, still tell people your Twitter stuff and your awesomely edited podcast.
Sure. You can find me at Rick Fantasy, R-E-K-E-D Fantasy. As John Bosch likes to say, I'm a Twitter tough guy. And the podcast Russ is talking about hasn't been on for a little bit, but it will come back at some point this year. It's a Superflex podcast, and it's hosted by some guy named Russ Fisher. For some reason, my tongue thought that was a tongue twister. It's not. Russ Fisher is the editor. He's some guy. He's all right. You know, it's fine.
Nah, whatever. Yeah, so check out Bobby in all those places because he's a good guy. He's not a tough guy. Well, he is a bit of a tough guy, but he's still a nice guy. And Superflex is awesome. There is a wonderful combination of Superflex and Zoo Talk because he has Matt Price, the zookeeper.
Yeah, I should have mentioned, Matt is my co-host, as Russ just said, and he's great. He provides all of the details about endangered animals, and it's always fun to learn more, and I've definitely have learned a lot about animals over the past year that I didn't know. So check out the podcast if you get the chance.
Yeah, and I think he's at Matt Price FF. I can never get it right because with Dynasty Game Night, we always give out fake handles, and I can never remember which is real and which isn't.
It is just at Matt Price FF.
Okay, that's enough about other people. Oh man, I've definitely missed this. Hey, Brian, let's talk about the news.
Here's the news!
Okay, since we missed last week, we're not going to go over all the stuff that happened last week because, I mean, we missed reporting. We missed podcasting the day of Black Monday. So yeah, a lot of people got fired, maybe not as many as we thought there would be. But there were two hirings, both of which I still have no real idea how to feel about. Almost right away was Ron Rivera to Washington. And today or yesterday, I can't remember, so I guess it doesn't matter, Mike McCarthy is now the head coach of the Cowboys after, hold on, we need to talk about this first. Jason Garrett allowed the Cowboys to not renew his contract. That was exact wording from Jerry Jones. And then on Saturday night, Mike McCarthy spent the night at Jerry Jones's house. And apparently, after you spend the night at Jerry Jones's house, everybody signs that contract. These are the two news items that dropped. What?
That's all we have. Blank silence.
And Bobby is super frozen on a ridiculous smile, so that makes me kind of happy.
That is funny. That's hilarious. That's good stuff. Yeah, no, the whole thing with the Cowboys is just, it's, I mean, that's the most cowboy thing ever, isn't it? I mean, just, I don't know. It doesn't matter who they bring in there. Jerry's running a show. So I mean,
he seems to have gotten better in the past few years about not completely just overriding everything. There was this really weird video of interview with Mike McCarthy where he said he spent his year off learning evaluating the way he ran the game and stuff like that. I mean, we were joking around in the Dynasty Trades HQ Patreon chat. It was like, you know, hey, Mr. Interviewer, you know, what have you done? You know, you're there for a job interview. And excuse me, what have you done with this year gap in your resume? Well, I spent that year pretending I was working. And I think I really learned a lot during that time. What? Like, it's just the weirdest thing ever. But then really what it comes down to is the point you brought up, I think, with your Aaron Jones fanboy. Is he going to let Zeke run, or is he going to be dumb and keep Tony Pollard on the field way more like he did instead of just letting Aaron Jones go nuts, keeping Jamal Williams on the field?
I think Zeke, I mean, you know, it's a little bit of a different situation, I think, too, because Jones and Williams were both brought in there that same year. Jones got into some trouble. Yeah, Zeke's gotten into some trouble, too, but he's also a $90 million running back. So I don't know, with Jerry Jones up in the box, you know, they're not going to – I doubt that he's going to do that type of deal with, like, with Jones and Williams in Green Bay. Like, I think Zeke will – you know, I mean, Tony Pollard will get mixed in, yeah, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere near the Green Bay situation. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott is one of the elite running backs in this league, you know, and I think it's likely he's still getting 70% of the volume there in the backfield. So, you know, Yeah, I mean, look, and my whole point earlier on Twitter too, if people saw the tweet, was just to say, you know, I mean, I was poking fun at it. I was poking fun at McCarthy saying, hey, is he going to do that to them too with the committee and whatnot? Realistically, I don't think they will. And secondly, though, I mean, I made a comment about selling Zeke and got a lot of kind of discussion about that. And look, my whole point was everybody's for sale. I mean, it's all about value. So, you know, if the value's right for Ezekiel Elliott, you got to at least entertain offers for him. You know, I don't necessarily think now's that time. I think you wait and see, hoping that he still has the volume. And then if you want to look to sell, you can. But if you have somebody that's, you know, looking at this saying, oh, McCarthy's, that offense is going to be so much better and they're going to score a bunch, and, you know, then, yeah, entertain it. The only player I'm not entertaining deals for is Saquon Barkley, and everybody that's ever listened to this show or interacted with me knows why. So, I mean, but that's it. I mean, everybody else in the entire player pool is available for the right price.
All right, well, we got Bobby back. Do you have any feelings about McCarthy to the Cowboys?
I don't think he gets that job if he doesn't say, I'm going to feed Zeke, basically. And I also think there's a major difference there, and Brian kind of pointed it out or alluded to it, that Aaron Jones was a guy that was brought in while he was there, whereas McCarthy is entering this role knowing that Zeke is one of the best running backs in the league. And if he claims to be any kind of smart coach, he'll recognize that. So we'll very quickly realize whether this 5-year deal is going to work out for the Cowboys or not based on that. I also, there was that analytics video of McCarthy surfacing around where he was talking about the team that he developed during his year away from coaching and also just what coaching meant to him. It may just be PR, but he seemed to me like a changed man somewhat and more willing to listen to some of the ways the game is changing. So I actually really like that hire. And I'm a little disappointed that the Giants didn't hire him. There are other guys I prefer that are still out there that I hope the Giants do hire. But having Jason him Garrett. Off the board was a disappointment. No. If Jason Garrett, I will never not be a Giants fan because I could claim that I wouldn't be, but I would still pay attention. But my fandom has slowly been going to like decreasingly lower levels. If I get stuck with Gettleman and Garrett, it doesn't get lower than that. That's the closest I can come to not being a fan anymore.
Hey, you know what I just thought of? Mm-hmm. If they do bring Garrett in, the initials for Garrett and Gettleman would be G squared, which is Gabe's Twitter handle.
Hmm. It also
be a good weird game. Brain.
Did and you just? It just blew your mind, didn't it?
GG is also internet speak for good game, and that's my fandom. It'd just be good game to my fandom. Good game end. Game over.
Nice. Okay, well, that's... Yeah. I mean, we're going to have plenty of Giants talk, because when I told Twitter that Bobby was coming on our show, he is the Giants guy, so everyone asked questions about the Giants, so we'll talk plenty about them. The only other piece of news we have right now is that Tua Tagovailoa declared for the NFL draft. There was a little bit of question whether he would, coming off the injury. There's a couple of people that are... There was a linebacker, lineman, and today Devontae Smith, I can never remember how it all returned to Alabama. So there was the thought that maybe he would go back, but nope, he declared. Technically, we were recording, but before we started the actual show, I was joking. I'm ready for the Fitzpatrick bridge to Tua in Miami. So that's what I'm guessing is going to happen. But I think that is huge. I mean, that shows that he is going to be at least healthy before the draft, I think, because I don't think you take that risk of not being able to do football stuff, as a technical term, before the draft. If you're not ready to do that, like, I don't think you come out unless you're ready for that. And will he play year one? Maybe not, which is also, again, why I'm ready for the Fitzpatrick bridge, because I think that makes the most sense in general anyway. But like, this, I think, has a huge effect on rookie drafts coming up. Somebody say something about this.
Yeah, I tweeted that out earlier, that anyone who's in a super flex league should be happy that he declared, because outside of 101, which is probably going to be Burrow in most leagues, maybe one of the running backs, it makes all the picks more valuable and just pushes depth down. I will also say, to bring it back to the Giants for a second, because I'm just going to apparently do that all night, that him declaring not only impacts the fantasy draft, but obviously the real NFL draft. And I was kind of mad that the Giants had four before, but now that Tua's in play, I could actually see a team trying to trade up. Granted, Gettleman is still our GM, so that's probably not going to happen, even if they should. But it at least makes it a possibility that Tua's on the board at four and someone tries to trade with us for him, and I'd be very happy about that.
Yeah. Or maybe the Giants just end up drafting Herbert like they were supposed to if he declared, and then you have a quarterback battle between him and Daniel Jones.
So Daniel Jones is going to get Josh Rosen, even though he was better than Josh Rosen?
Yeah. Because right. Why not? It's fun. It's fun stuff to talk about.
Brian is over there stewing because he's talking about trading for Daniel Jones, and this is a nightmare scenario.
Yeah. No, I mean, for me with Tua, I mean, this is the right decision for him, in my opinion, you know, especially with that type of an injury. I mean, if he's ready to go for the start of the season, and he goes, well, I mean, what's he playing for at Alabama? You know, I mean, he's already won national titles. He's, you know, he's already going to be probably a top 10 to 15 draft pick. You know, what's he really going back for other than, you know, I mean, look, education, and that's a whole nother conversation. But I think it's the right call from his football career, you know, first football career. I hope he can play. See, here's the other thing for me. I the situation that I see and absolutely love, and I've seen a couple people, I've seen some nice work photoshopping him into a Chargers uniform, but that's the perfect location for me. Ride Tyrod Taylor for a year and sit Tua and make sure he's 100%, you know, draft him, sit him, make sure he's 100% healthy, ride Taylor for 1 year, and then Tua's ready to go for the 2021 season, you know, as a 22-year-old quarterback. So that, to me, I think is the perfect situation. But, you know, we'll see what happens. It definitely is interesting. And I'll be interested to see how high he does go. And Bobby, you were kind of talking before we came on here just about, you know, well, and again, while we've been on about just, you know, are there teams going to be willing to move up to get him now? You know, if Miami's sitting there, is somebody going to jump them? You know, is Las Vegas going to be? We were talking about Las Vegas, the Raiders. That sounds so weird.
It's so weird. I had to think about who you were talking about.
But the Raiders, you know, would they be willing to? Would Gruden be willing to make something happen where they jump up for Tua? So it's going to be very intriguing. I think that'll be one of the intriguing storylines of the draft here this spring. You know, by all accounts, the kid is a hardworking kid with a good head on his shoulders, and he can throw the ball. So hopefully. You know, hopefully the hip injury doesn't, you know, make his career any different than what it should have been prior to the injury. But definitely this is going to be something we're all going to want to watch. And you know, from a fantasy perspective, the ramifications of him coming out. I mean, you're talking about he'll go as high as 102 in a lot of drafts in Superflex leagues.
I still think he's going 101 somewhere. Like, he probably knows going to be.
Yep.
Well, especially after the Bengals pull the Bengals and draft Tua at 101 instead of Burrow.
I'll put this out there that so I was a huge Tua fan and I still am. And part of that was his career has exactly overlapped with kind of the end of Eli Manning's career. And so it was exactly as I was drafting or looking at future college quarterbacks that might be the future of the Giants that Tua kind of entered the picture. So he's one of those few guys that I've followed his entire college career. And I used to joke like, oh, in 2020 or 2021, that'll be the year that the Giants get Tua. So it actually is very sad to me that they're in position to draft him and are not going to take him. But that said, having watched his entire career, I really do think he is a special quarterback and that he's injury aside. So it does depend on his health. But assuming that he can return to his normal self, he's going to be very, very good at the college level. And if he hadn't gotten injured, I probably 100%. And I'm admitting some of my own bias here, but I would have taken him over Burrow.
Yeah, I honestly don't think there's a wrong answer when it comes to that. I think it was, I can't remember. At this point, I've just started listening to like 17 Devi podcasts, and I don't remember who it was, but someone said like 80% of Tua is still better than 100% of a lot of quarterbacks. So even if he doesn't come back 100%, even if he doesn't start right away at 100% health, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Okay, so we're talking a lot of quarterbacks. Let's jump into this first listener question. DFF is the best at DFF underscore Justin. In Superflex, what moves are you making at the QB position? Open-ended, so draft-related, veterans, young guys, just however you will be managing your team in the non-point scoring season. You have a Daniel Jones article. Is it out, coming out? What is it?
I haven't even written it yet. It's just an idea in my head. So,
all right, do you want to say that one main line that you're...
Sure.
Or do you want to not spoiler alert it?
No, it's fine. The premise is basically I was thinking about quarterback rankings and guys sort of in the like 13 to 15 range, or maybe even a little bit higher than that. So we'll just call it the mid-teens. And I know they're also tied together because they're both New York quarterbacks. But at this point in, and I'm not saying real quarterbacking, but for fantasy purposes, I want Daniel Jones over Sam Darnold. And so if I had a Sam Darnold and thought that he still had some of that hype from his rookie season, which I think he does, and could flip him for Jones plus, that's a move that I'm making right now.
See, I don't know if it's going to be... I'm a Darnold fan. I am sad that he's going to end up losing Robbie Anderson. I don't know. Sad he has Adam Gase as a coach. Like, they need to... If they do something crazy, like if they go out and get, like, you know, Jalen Reagor or Ruggs or some of the, one of those crazy fast, crazy athletic people, maybe I'll feel a little differently. But I was very big into Darnold coming into this year and during the year. Now I'm kind of scared of his situation. So I think I do kind of agree, because, you know, I was listening to the Superflex Super show that you were on this week, and James Catullus's bull take was that the Giants are going to make the playoffs this coming year. And a lot of it was based on, first of all, yes, the amount of laughs and no's that came out were very, very funny. But also, it was a lot of based on the fact that, I mean, think about that offense for a second. If they draft two offensive linemen, they'll have a good offensive line with Daniel Jones, who you yourself say is at least good for fantasy-wise. Evan Engram, Golden Tate, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Saquon. And what's stopping them from drafting a wide receiver, no less, you know, like a real number one? Like, that offense can be potent.
Yeah, they just have so many holes on defense that I don't see them drafting another wide receiver. But I don't think they have to. One of the key reasons that I would have Jones over Darnold just for fantasy purposes, outside of the weapons, because that is one of the key reasons, is just rushing upside, where Jones has shown an ability to use his legs at least in a bit more than Darnold to begin their careers. And that matters for fantasy.
Okay, so getting away from that specific New York Giants stuff for like 4 seconds before we go to the next question, and it's Giants based. What kind of moves are you looking at right now in Superflex? Do you, Brian, have anything that you're specifically, not necessarily like a player you're going out, but do you have any strategy right now? Okay, do you want to talk about a player you're going after? Because that was just a face you made. All right, go.
I'm buying Matt Stafford everywhere.
Yep.
Well, everywhere. QB6, QB6 through 9 weeks before he goes out with the back injury, QB6 in points per game. And you can probably, you might not even.
You have to pay first. Don't give me whatever you're about to say.
I would absolutely pay a late first for him. Easy. I'd pay a mid first for him and wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah, it's like an evergreen podcast statement. Go by Matt Stafford. Except for me last year, because, man, Daryl Bevel threw me for a loop. I really thought he was going to be crappy like he was for the Seahawks, and he was not.
Yeah. And as far as an overall, what are you doing in Superflex leagues right now? I mean, I think you're trying to target quarterbacks that you think are going to be relevant next year that weren't relevant this year, and taking advantage of buying those guys a little bit cheaper than what they might cost, you know, as we get closer into the season. The one thing you want to watch out for, obviously, is those situations where a quarterback could be drafted, right? And there's going to be a lot of shifting in the quarterback market here over the next several months as well, with veteran guys that have lost jobs in, you know, in Andy Dalton and Cam Newton and, you know,
probably
those
Philip Rivers.
Probably Philip Rivers, right? Tom Brady. I mean, those guys, and Brady didn't lose his job, but you get the point. I mean, there's going to be a shift in the landscape. Who's going to Indy? You know, there's a lot of intrigue in that area this offseason as well. So, or non-point scoring season, excuse me. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm trying to do, is just target some of those quarterbacks that I think are going to have some value right now. If people are panicking because they don't have a team, a guy like Dalton, you know, I mean, that's a guy that I would target because he's probably going to start somewhere. Case Keenum is probably going to start somewhere again. So, you know, those guys, I mean, if you can get those guys for late second round picks, and probably not Dalton, but Keenum, I bet you wouldn't have to pay more than that at this point. And that's a guy that I'm trying to snatch up, because the second he steps on the field as a starter, you know, that value is going right back up. So that's kind of what I'm trying
Brian,
to do.
Brian, let's talk in TA7. I have Keenum.
I'll have to talk to my co-general manager about
I heard that guy's a tight ass. I was about to say, like, you sort of melded into my point, was right now, I think with quarterbacks in the non-point scoring season, you're playing the volume game. Get those guys that have a short distance between where they are now and starting, whether it's direct backups, whether it's, you know, Andy Dalton, who you know is going to get cut, but will most likely get a starting job, or Case Keenum, who can very well step in to either bridge or have an actual quarterback. Oh man, what the hell am I trying to controversy? Not battle for the starting job. Man,
competition.
There you go, competition. That's my move right now. I mean, am I going to go by Deshaun Watson? Hell yeah, if I can, because, you know, I love Deshaun Watson. But I mean, that's not really. Not many people are going to move those top guys right now because there's no real reason to. We are months and months and months away from having to start a lineup. So no one's going to be downgrading Deshaun Watson because they're weak at wide receiver too. I mean, so right now, pretty much you're messing with the middle of your bench, or like the middle of your roster, I should say. So start acquiring, I'm going to say it, start acquiring guys like Mitch Trubisky, because if he comes out the first three games and scores, let's face it, if he scores more than 10 points in those first three games, his value is skyrocketing. I with the expectations he has on him, you can get him for probably a late first at this point, which a starting quarterback, and he, by all means, like, the only thing they've come out and said that he is their starting quarterback. I think the only thing we ever heard about him not being it was everyone saying that Cam Newton should get traded there, and so many things have to happen for that to actually happen. So I think sending late firsts, early seconds, all the way down to whatever the hell you have to get any sort of quarterback that has small steps to getting starting chances, I think is the move to make right now.
I would also say try to sell your old quarterbacks if you can, and even if you have to add something on to them to get some other quarterback. I'm talking about like the Tom Brady's, for example, or Drew Brees or Philip Rivers. Just because you don't really know what their plans are going to be, and they might have a year left or so. But in leagues that I have those guys and I'm relying on them, I'm a little worried, to be honest.
Yeah, it's one of those better to be a year early than a year late. There are certain people that are fine dying on my roster. I don't really think I have any quarterbacks. Like maybe Drew Brees, because I think as long as he's playing, he's worth a little more than what you can get for him. But I think at this point, I take whatever I can get for like Tom Brady or Philip Rivers.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with that. And Breeze, I definitely agree. Until he retires, is probably going to be worth more to your roster than you can get in a trade for him at this point.
Yep.
Or go try, and in the case of Drew Brees, go try to acquire a guy like Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I was saying before. You could probably get him for like a mid-second at this point. Like, right. I mean, while they're still, you'd be like, no, come on, man. You think Breeze is going to go out like that in the first round? No, he's coming back. I mean, you could easily just talk your way into like giving someone like questionable thoughts about Teddy Bridgewater actually getting a starting job. So yeah, no, that's definitely Teddy Bridgewater is a good way to go. All right, so I need to we need to do this question from Zach Reed at Tacit Assassin 13. What are your thoughts on David Gettleman going forward? And in parentheses, would appreciate if all responses are in the form of a haiku.
Yeah, we wrote haikus for this, and I totally forgot about that. And now I need to actually pull up our show sheet that you sent me.
Well, yours isn't on here. Only mine are. I had to stop myself at 3 because I just kept going. So while you look for yours, I'm going to recite mine.
Okay, go for it.
Useless front office. Analytics are for nerds. Establish the run.
Oh, man. I can't find mine. I remember it was something like, Dave Gettleman sucks. Please trade down the pick. I forget the line in between.
It was everything was involved because that's how we had a two-second fight about how many syllables were in everything. But it just turns out I pronounce it wrong.
We'll come back to this because I'm going to find exactly what I wrote because I was so excited to read it for Zach.
I'm going
to
do my other two because they're fun for me. Daniel Jones at 6, RB second overall, so bad at drafting. Sorry, yeah. Brian. And then my last one, the room is on fire. The dog is sipping his tea. Everything's fine.
Okay, I got one.
Nice, let's hear it.
Go ahead, Brian, but I found mine.
Okay, Bobby, you do yours first.
Dave Gettleman sucks. Everything is not fine. Please trade down the pick.
Yeah, and we were arguing because I say everything, not everything. So I miscount. That's why I had to apostrophe S. Everything's fine because I already the meme is everything is fine, but I speak wrong.
Go ahead.
Ready, Brian?
All right. Almost.
Oh, come on.
I didn't see this on the sheet. That's why
it's on the sheet.
I haven't looked at the show sheet since 2019. Jeez. Back
show
off.
Show some professionalism.
Do
you see my face right now? Y'all don't see my face, but
I'm not looking at you.
All right. I got it. Ease up. Drafted Saquon. Gettleman forever.
That is not at all a haiku, but I appreciate the effort.
Yeah, you tried.
I tried.
Fantastic. Okay, so this is, probably the real question Zach had that I also sort of asked. With rumors swirling that the Browns have asked to interview Greg Roman, what does that do to your outlook on Lamar Jackson? Follow-up, where would you like to see Roman go? Try not to let it color your decision that Daniel Jones ran for nearly 300 yards this year.
I don't know that it really changes much on Jackson for me because I think that they've had enough of a playbook from Roman that they can just copy it going forward. And he's obviously a very smart guy, but I don't know. I'm pretty much all in on Jackson at this point. I don't have him quite at QB1 yet. But I definitely have him as my QB2 for dynasty purposes. And I want to see Roman go to could he go replace Matt Nagy? And then Trubisky becomes this crazy rushing quarterback?
I mean, that would be pretty great. Or wherever Tua lands.
Yeah, that would work too. I mean, honestly, wherever there's a rushing quarterback, that's where I want him to go. So
also, to be fair,
that's a cop-out answer, but that's what I want.
I mean, back to Buffalo would make sense. I mean, they're doing pretty well with Josh Allen in general, but
that would require McDermott getting fired, which I guess he could after the playoff.
Or at least be a really high-paid OC. Because, I mean, the thing is with Roman, in case people listening don't actually know, is everywhere he's gone with a rushing quarterback, he has exponentially raised the quarterback's efficiency throwing the ball. Yeah. Yards per attempt, all other things that I can't think of because I am hungry and tired. All other efficiency stats have gone up pretty much.
The more you talk about this, the more I feel like the Bears should just throw all the money at him to fix Trubisky.
Yeah, Nagy hasn't lived up to anything. Like, wasn't he like coach of the year his rookie year or something? And then just.
Well, I don't even mean as head coach. Like, even if they just go, we're going to make you a super high paid OC, but you're going to fix our quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's. I mean, there's a good chance Ravens are winning the Super Bowl. I don't think he's leaving for a lateral job, even if it's more money.
Yeah, that's fair. But I really, the more I think about it, the more I want to see him go and try to fix Trubisky to see if he can work his magic.
That'll help me after I buy all the Trubisky before that happens.
Brian, where do you want to see him?
Yeah, seriously, you're just in there with your face on the microphone.
I have updated my haiku thing. I don't even know what the question was. Greg Roman and Lamar Jackson, and I love Lamar Jackson. Where would I like to see Roman go?
Yep. Yeah, like does the idea of Greg Roman leaving affect how you feel about Lamar Jackson? Because no.
I feel strongly about Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
He's outstanding. He is the QB2 in Dynasty for me as well. Actually, no, he's the QB3 behind Russell Wilson. I'm sorry. But
I mean,
it's,
don't
darn,
get me wrong.
It's darn close.
I love me some Russell Wilson, but really? Are you both of you disrespecting Deshaun Watson this badly?
Yes. Deshaun Watson is
Have you watched him play in the last 3 weeks?
Listen, the top three, you could argue pretty much any order for me. And I actually just wrote about this. Shameless plug. I wrote a top 10 consensus quarterback position article for Dynasty League Football. You can check it out on their website. And it wasn't my own personal ranks, but I did write that those three guys, which is Mahomes, Jackson, and Watson, are probably all going to have multiple top five finishes for years to come. And you could convince me of any order probably, and I won't fight you on it. But my order is Mahomes is still number one.
Yeah, Mahomes is my one too.
Yes.
One as well. Yeah. I have Watson four now. I really do. I mean, I think I'm sorry. I like him, but I don't know. That was a nice play where he spun out and did the muscle
thing. Oh man, that was so good.
Yeah.
Okay, but
so are you ready for my haiku? Yeah.
I was about to say, do you want to give us your haiku so we could actually move on?
It might not even be right, but whatever. All yins ease up. All yins ease up now. Drafted Saquon. Oh yeah, woo. That work? Drafted Saquon. Oh, yeah, woo. Yeah, that works. Gettleman forever.
That's six.
Damn it! Whatever,
forever.
Man.
He was so close.
First show of the year, and you have me dropping F-bombs. Unreal.
Wait, did you really? Do I have to edit? I wasn't listening.
I did.
I'm leaving. Sorry. Don't care. Seriously, that one time I left in your F-bomb was like the most response we've ever gotten to an episode.
I think people will just see how much effort you put into this haiku.
Hey, I'm trying hard here.
I'm sure Zach is going to really feel the love on your effort. Okay, so next question. This is for Bobby in the first place at Chris Allen FFWX. Will he grow out his mustache if Minshew starts again next season? And I guess on the real question side, what are his expectations for Slayton in 2020?
Yeah, this is an interesting question. I mean, I don't know if it's meant to be taken this seriously, but I have given serious thought as to whether I will do No Shave November again or not. And I think next year I may just donate because the mustache got super uncomfortable towards the end of the month. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about the important part that I don't know if you've told the public. Bobby
that I'm
went
pouring the RV this summer, and I'm taking my RV from Jacksonville to LA.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Gardner Minshew announced today that he's taking a brand new RV from Jacksonville to LA.
That is absolutely something Gardner Minshew would do. Bobby went to a couple of like work-related networking things with this mustache. And it was like the hit of the party.
I did.
Everyone loved it. He was talking to everyone. Big wigs were like, hey, man, nice stash. Let's talk some business. So I think this mustache needs to be like a permanent fixture. Let's get Grace on the line.
Grace does not want me to bring back the mustache. I think she was on board for 1 year because she thought it was funny. But I'm pretty sure she's done with it. That said, I will make a donation next year. And hopefully other people will as well. But to answer Chris's actual question, Darius Slayton is a guy that I personally cannot understand at all why he is. I think it's something like, and this is December ADP, so it might have changed, but he is wide receiver like 57. And here's the thing that many people don't realize. From week three, when he got his first target, until the end of the season, he was neck and neck with AJ Brown for the wide receiver, like rookie receiving yards leader. And he also had all of those touchdowns. And yeah, I know he is this guy who was drafted late, but he showed chemistry with Jones. Sterling Shepard has a bunch of concussion issues. And Golden Tate, because of his PED stuff, can actually be cut this offseason with no dead cap. So I don't think they're actually going to do that, because I think Jones needs some guys to throw to. But Slayton, I think, is going to be their wide receiver three. And as I mentioned earlier, they have so many holes there that I highly doubt they're going to use high draft capital to bring in a wide receiver. If they do, I'm not going to lie, that could really hurt Slayton. But I don't think they want to hurt Slayton. If they do, maybe then they say, all right, Golden Tate, get out of here. So I'm pretty high on Slayton, at least compared to his current price or what I perceive his price to be, and think everyone should basically go out and acquire him if that is his true price.
Yeah, I think this is going to be like Doug Baldwin, Chris Carson, where it's going to take like 4 years for people to start almost thinking that he's going to be worth something in Dynasty. Just because the low draft capital, that's the word, nice, came up with it on my own. I think that's what it's going to be. I think he's going to keep scoring. I mean, is he going to be a top 12 wide receiver? Probably not, but he's consistent. Like, he's getting targets, and if the, like you said, if the Giants don't have the opportunity to spend good capital on a wide receiver, he's there, and he has his role. Unless he legitimately loses it to a guy who's better than him, he's gonna keep producing. So I think you're right. I think he's a great buy, and especially for his price. You're right, Brian?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, cool.
And I agree on Slayton.
Yeah, but the other thing just to add there is, over that span, even with like one game where he had zero receptions or close to zero receptions, and of course that was when I was facing Riley in the TA7 toilet bowl and playing Darius Slayton, he averaged 50 receiving yards per game over that span, and something like 0.6 touchdowns or something like that per game. So he's pretty consistent, and he's a good buy for anyone looking for a cheap guy. Although I have heard some people say that it would take a late first to buy him. In this class, I would not do that. So if anyone in your league is valuing him as a late first, then his price has already soared too high. But if it's anything like that wide receiver 57 number, go out and buy him.
Yeah, man. I have been listening to a couple of way too early rookie mocks and stuff like that. The wide receivers that are going at the end of the first, like all the way through the second, is like drool worthy. And then you look at the wide receivers that are coming out in 2021, like, oh man. There's going to be a lot of wide receiver talent coming into this league. I'm very excited for it. Okay, next question. This one had me thinking. Kyle LaPointe at Dogleg Brewer. If a plane crashes on the border of Oklahoma and Texas, which state do you bury the survivors?
Oh, you don't, because they survived.
Here's the sad thing. I thought the trick was, wait, let me look at a map and make sure Texas and Oklahoma are next to each other. And then I'm like, wait, I'm an idiot.
I'm not very good at geography either. So my brain at first was like, okay, let's form a map in our head. And then I went, wait a minute, he said survivors.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. Except I took the time to pull up a map of the United States first, because I am not, in fact, smarter than a third grader and did not remember my geography well.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure I've heard a similar one before, so my brain recalled that and went, nah, I know the trick here.
Nope. I was not ready for that.
Brian, did you get it? Brian got it before all of us, and I just had to blurt it out. He just didn't want us to feel inferior.
Correct.
I think Brian still doesn't get it.
I get it.
Okay, we're talking about a couple of these guys in these. We have one Trade Addicts trade this week, so we're just going to jump into this.
Trade Addicts trade.
Didn't even need me to ask. You're on top of your game. Love it. You're nice and fresh after your vacation. This is a Trade Addicts 2 trade. Trade Addicts League's 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium, 1.75 per reception with 0.05 points for return yard. This trade, Mitchell Trubisky, Ronald Jones, Boston Scott, Jamison Crowder, and the 1.03 for Russell Wilson and the 2.05.
So I heard Russell Wilson and pretty much stopped paying attention and just said, give me that side.
So Trubisky, 103, and some maybe stuff for Russell Wilson in the 205.
Don't you disrespect Boston Scott like that. I'm just kidding.
Don't get me wrong. I actually have him on like two or three taxi squads. So I'm like pretty happy with what's going on right now.
Russ side.
103 could be pretty nice, but give me the proven guy in Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I agree.
I will never not be scared of Russell Wilson in fantasy. And I think that just comes from being a terrified Seahawks fan. First of all, in general, I don't like owning Seahawks on my teams. But second of all, like that offense, that team can just like stop playing at any given moment. And then for like 3 minutes in an entire game, score three touchdowns, and it's just terrifying. Like, owning Russell Wilson is stressful. Like, at the end of the season, he seems to always end up as like a top 5-6 quarterback, but it's never happy. It's never calm. It's never easy. Saying that, I still want the Russell Wilson side because, slow down. Okay. Tampa Bay is drafting a running back. Like, we have to feel like this is a thing, right? Like, they're going to have someone that's not Ronald Jones. Jordan Howard is probably out in Philly, which means it's probably going to be the Miles Sanders, Boston Scott show. What that means necessarily for fantasy, I don't really know. Jameson Crowder.
I have an article about what that means on Dynasty League Football. I'm just shamelessly plugging all over the place. It's, to be fair, you mentioned my two articles that I just wrote, so I had to do it.
Start calling you like pimped fantasy instead of wrecked. Okay, so I'm just going to say it, even though he's privately messaging me, that there's twice in this podcast, Brian has DM'd me and just put the words best plug man ever. Talking about Bobby working in his article.
I love it.
If it comes up naturally in conversation, you got to do it.
Why not? Exactly.
And then, like, it's funny, like, because we'll have stuff going, me and Brian will have stuff going on somewhere, something, and then at the end of the show, we're like, oh, we forgot to talk about this.
Yeah.
But we talked about that guy six times and still never brought
it up.
You
know what you have to do? You have to pretend that you're, like, one of those celebrities going on the late talk shows to, like, promote your movie. And so it seems like you're having a natural conversation, and then suddenly something ties into the movie, and they're like, hey, and my movie, which comes out on Friday, also talks about this topic. Ding.
Now I want you to do that wink and ding every time you bring up one of your articles.
Oh, nice.
Okay, but back to this. So there is the slight possibility, like Trubisky, Tua, a decent amount of the Philadelphia backfield for Russell Wilson in the 205. That doesn't make it seem a little better?
It's not the right people in the Philadelphia backfield, though.
I agree with that. You want Miles Sanders.
Exactly. Listen,
I got that email saying that I was an honorary Penn State member.
Hey, so let's just set this up. I mean, I literally just threw him the most easy alley. I threw him an alley oop on a 3-foot hoop on that one. Go ahead, Bobby.
If you listed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a Miles Sanders article come out. I just said it.
I mean, but
or hold on. If you listen to this week's Superflex Super Show, where guest Bobby Koch get out his boiling hot take of Miles Sanders being, what was it, top five running back?
Top five in points per game, yeah.
I love it.
There you go. But, wink, ding.
I'm also
an honorary Penn State member because yes. I got that email saying, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to all our Penn State alum. And I don't know how I got it, but they just must know I love Saquon and Miles so much that
it's right.
I'm now Penn State.
Well, I'll tell you what, that haircut just got looked up. It looks a lot better now than it did, like, you know, before you reminded me of that. You had told me earlier about it, but yes. No, that's awesome, man. I don't know why the university is sending you emails, but cool. It's an honor. Take it as a badge of honor.
They give you an honorary degree for loving their running backs. I'm pretty sure that's it.
There you go. Man, God, I hope nobody comments on Penn State shit and honorary things because of this episode. Oh, that will hurt me very badly. Okay, moving along.
Okay, so I think we all side on the Russell Wilson side of this trade, even though I'm trying to rationalize it being the other side. I mean, it's like I said at the beginning of the show when I was talking about super flex strategy, it's too early to be downgrading from these guys to try and fill depth, because who cares right now about depth?
Yeah.
The value to me just isn't necessarily, unless you're like super into Boston Scott. And I mean, they just have to draft a wide receiver, right? Because if not, Jameson Crowder is all they got.
I like Jameson Crowder. I got
to help him out.
Well, I didn't talk about Jameson Crowder, so I don't know what you're doing there. But
Jameson, I was just talking about the trade. That's all I was doing. I'm not this. You are not on this show to pimp yourself out. You were legitimately on the show because we wanted to talk football with you. That's all this is. Stop trying to make this something it isn't, Bobby.
I will say Jameson Crowder is a guy I like a lot, so I do like that part of the trade. And he's a cheap guy. He had some ridiculous target share with Darnold for a while. So if they don't draft anybody, he could be that guy again. I do think he needs some help, though. He needs someone like a Robbie Anderson if he leaves to take the top off, because otherwise people will just load up on Crowder, and that's not good for him. That's not his game.
All right, so speaking of guys to take the top off, at @Schlosser_Joel, why is Tyler Lockett so undervalued? ! So I put after this, because I actually looked it up to see if he was undervalued. I think this was December ADP. He was 31st. Which, third round? 12, 24, 36. Yeah, third round. And the trade analyzer has him worth an early first plus on DLF because they don't have specific picks yet. Is that undervalued?
I was about to ask you. My question was going to be, is he undervalued? Because I don't think he is. Especially now that DK is starting to emerge too.
I am... Right now, not worried about DK. I think the two of them do work together just fine, assuming they pass the ball. I mean, now that DK is coming on as well as he is, you have to worry about volume, which normally isn't something you have to do. But again, it all depends. If I'm drafting Tyler Lockett in the third, and I think this was one QB, that means he's at, you know, my wide receiver too. I don't think I feel comfortable with that. So maybe he's being overvalued a little bit to this. Like if I go three wide receivers in a row, then maybe I'm fine. But like on my team specifically, I don't feel necessarily good with Tyler Lockett being my second wide receiver. Would either of you pay a early first plus for Tyler Lockett?
No. Although I did, I will say I'm a little biased against him right now, because before the season started, I made a bet that Tyler Lockett would outscore Allen Robinson in PPG, and I lost that bet, which I never thought I would lose. I mean, Allen Robinson also just had a great year, but
the one bet you lost this year, and you're being...
Yeah, I'm holding against Tyler Lockett. It's clearly his fault, not mine. Brian, would you make that trade?
Thank you. The early first? No. No, I would not. I don't necessarily think Lockett is being... Yeah, I'm with you guys. I don't think Lockett's being undervalued if he's going in the third round. I mean, he just had his best season by far in the league. And he finished as a wide receiver 10, but wide receiver 14 in points per game. I mean, I don't know that there's a lot of room for him to move up in the final standings of that, especially with the emergence of DK on the other side. So... You know, I think he is probably at peak value. He's also going to be 28, like 2 weeks into the season. Not that 28-year-olds can't produce in the league, but, you know, you start,
come on, baby.
You get into that late 20s window, though, and people start going stupid.
about age. Or we got a lot of ageists in our community that don't like these old guys. That's
when
disgusting.
You turn 28, that we, everyone in Dynasty just assumes that you're walking around with a walker.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm much older than 28, but I feel like I need to be walking around with a walker.
I am 28, and I walk around with a walker all the time. So there you go.
Here's the one thing.
Oh, wait, Tyler Lockett, why aren't you walking around with a walker? I think that's what we need to talk about right now. Sorry, go.
No, that's okay. So here's the one thing, looking at this moving forward, too, that I think you have to be careful with Lockett. If Chris Carson comes back healthy, okay, and this hip injury isn't a real concern moving forward, and he shows that, and they continue to run the offense that they ran this year, which was very efficient and very run heavy, you know, then I don't think there's room for Lockett to go anywhere up. I mean, I think he's hit his ceiling. If for some reason Carson can't come back and they don't believe in Penny, or Penny doesn't perform, or they go with Travis Homer or whatever, or don't draft a running back, and they actually let Russell Wilson open things up, you know, then yeah, maybe I'm a little bit more interested and he holds his value a little bit longer. I mean, Wilson's been in the league for what, 9 years? They haven't let him do it yet. So I don't necessarily think they're going to, regardless.
Yeah, that gets to Russ's point a little bit, that as much as I love watching Russell Wilson be a quarterback, he's not necessarily going to pass enough to support two guys. And so in this case, I think Lockett has pretty much hit his ceiling in terms of value.
Yeah, I think I sadly agree, but I don't care because I still think he'll be good as a Seahawks player, and that's necessarily what I care about. Because, like I said, I don't really like owning Seahawks on my fantasy teams. So, next question. Eric John Flynn, who's your super duper QB buy for next season? So I think we talked enough about this, but just I wanted to say super duper QB buy because that sounded like fun to say.
Yeah, we definitely talked enough about it. And for me, it definitely would be Daniel Jones at this point. I'd be chasing. It's probably just a weird coincidence, but the past 2 years we've had major sophomore breakouts. So I'd be targeting a cheap-ish rookie who did well and hope that they have that breakout.
Yeah, John Hogue would tell you to go buy Drew Lock. But I'm more on the Daniel Jones side of that. Okay, so let's hit up another Giants question while Brian's taking a pee break.
Just out of him like that, we could have just kept talking.
What's the fun in that? And that will know if he actually listens to the show, if he gives me crap about it. I don't listen to the show, so it's fine. @Scott_Sidlow. I know Shermer was not a good head coach, but I personally liked Shermer for fantasy purposes. DJ, Saquon, Slayton, Tate, Shepard, Engram is pretty solid, maybe even underrated. Thoughts going forward on those guys, if any of them were held back or boosted by Shermer?
That was a lot of words. Yeah, that's a good question, though, Scott. Obviously, I wasn't a fan of Shermer as a coach, and I'm glad that he's gone. I do think that he was known as a good offensive coordinator and brought out some good things in Daniel Jones. That said, I would hope that the Giants would bring in a coach that is able to do something similar, if not better, and an offensive coordinator that can do something similar, if not better. But at the same time, those weapons are all just really good offensive guys. So I don't necessarily see a coaching change as a downgrade, but it is something that could be a concern. And it would be very interesting to see whether Shermer did something positive, even if it was just for fantasy and not real life.
Yeah, the only thing I think I'm really necessarily concerned, quote unquote, about is the fact that you hate to see second year, second coordinator. And that's what's going to end up happening for Daniel Jones and, you know, I mean, the entire offense. I mean, otherwise, yeah, again, Shermer was a good offensive coordinator. Did he do anything to bring anything out in this offense? Probably not, because it's not like this offense did anything great or like excelled in one situation, in one area, that's a better word. So I think this, like you said, they survived on the talent they had. I don't think it necessarily had anything to do with coaching.
But learning a new system takes time. It takes a lot of everything. So, I mean, it may hurt a little bit getting a new offensive guy brought in. But I don't think it's going to change much. I'm not fading anybody because Pat Shurmur is leaving.
You could also argue, just from watching every game, that in certain instances, Shurmur's play calling held back the offense from a real-life perspective, and that held it back for a fantasy perspective too, because it limited some of their opportunities to score. So it is possible. Although another thing to watch for, and I know I've mentioned it a few times, is just if the Giants do actually improve their defense, then their offense may not have to throw the ball quite as much to make up for how terrible their defense is. Mm-hmm. So that may actually drive down fantasy scoring a little bit. Not terrible, though. That's true. That will take multiple years. That will not be something that is solved next year.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Like, I can't believe they fell out of getting Chase Young with how bad their defense is.
You don't talk about that.
Sorry. Okay. That, I mean, that was the Giants question. The last Giants question we had. So I'm asking words this question because I know Bobby loves this movie and because I want to know if Brian knows what this is. At Andrew Hall FF, what is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
I have no idea. I looked it up. I saw this and I looked it up, but I still have no, I have no idea.
European or African?
Did you actually find out the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow when you looked it up?
No, I'm just glad it didn't pop up some like.
No, it is not porn.
Yeah,
it is Monty Python. Do you know who Monty Python is?
I think I do. Yes,
everybody Brian, just Monty Python gifs everywhere. Go get him now, everyone. Well, I guess not now because you're.
Is that the, is that when the dude jumps around with his leg cut off?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I know what it is. I know it so, exists.
Quick tangent. One
and
time.
I didn't. Good, Bobby. Sorry.
Oh no. Just one time, I was returning from I think it was Puerto Rico. Actually, it had to have been a foreign country, so it must have been Aruba. And I was coming back, and one of the security officers. I was really tired and cranky on the plane, but I decided to be like, I was a teenager, so I decided to be sarcastic and snarky and whatever. And Brian won't get this, Russ, you will. The guy asked me, okay, I have to ask you some questions now. Is that okay with you? And I said, yeah, you just choose one. I said, yeah, you just use one. But is the next one going to be, what is your favorite color? And the guy dead stared me, and my parents were so pissed. And then he started laughing, and then he said, yellow, no, blue. And I knew I was fine.
That's amazing. Go watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
What the hell is going on right now?
Go watch Monty. It's on Netflix right now.
It's a great movie, Brian.
It is fantastic. So good. My friend's brother has a picture of himself.
By the way, I think I messed up that quote. I have to correct myself. Wasn't it blue, no, yellow? Now I'm getting in my head.
Isn't that what you said?
I said yellow, no blue. So I messed it up. It's blue, no yellow.
Okay. I wasn't listening. My friend's brother has a picture of himself in front of that castle. I think it's in Scotland, holding coconut shells. And I'm so jealous of that.
Brian thinks we're like both on some kind of drugs right now.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
That's for later. Okay, we have two questions left, so we're going to hit up these two questions, and then I'm going to go to bed. First, Eric Miskin, at E Miskin. That's it. There's no. I was about to say numbers or underscore, but no. But he is, oh man, he's in one of the Trade Addicts.
Five, I think. I think he's in five. Four.
Yep. Yeah, he.
Didn't he win? Or
no, second place. He came sorry. First in the season, though. Yeah, awkward. Congratulations, sorry, Scott, though. Let's go board. Okay, who's your top? Who's your top off-season target? A guy who could show/blow up in 2020? See, we were talking about this before, and Brian, I think you asked this in a chat or something somewhere. I'm going to buy DK Metcalf everywhere because he did as well, if not better, than AJ Brown. But AJ Brown's like twice the price right now. Like, if you can get DK for a late first, which I think isn't absolutely out of the realm of possibilities, I'd be doing that because every game that goes by, him and Russell Wilson just look better together.
I was going to say until recently, Debo, but then I started seeing Debo in like I don't know, third or fourth round of startup mocks or
something. Oh, damn.
So no way. I can't say Debo anymore, but that would have been my answer. And I did see recently someone asked, like, trading 109 for Debo. And if you could do that, I probably would do that, because I do think the 49ers need someone to throw to, and I saw good things from him, so I like Debo. But again, it's, I try to target those young guys, and AJ Brown is definitely, I think I've seen trades of him like ridiculously for like Juju and like five firsts. That's hyperbole, but it doesn't sound that ridiculous for what I'm seeing for him on Twitter right now.
Okay, since you can't say Saquon, do you have any anything off the top of your head?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I'm starting to like the idea of Calvin Ridley a little bit more.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. I think some you and a couple others have been wearing off on me a little bit on that, and then just thinking about how this offense is likely over the next couple of years are going to have to shift a little bit away from Julio being the main, you know, as his physical attributes. I mean, he's a freak of nature, but it's Father Time wins every time. So, you know, I think as that happens, I think Ridley's role in that offense is going to continue to expand. So he's one. I'll tell you what, I'm not saying that he's a go buy right now, especially with what has happened over the second half of this season. But dadgum, I wish I owned Derrick Henry in a few more places too, because that dude is fun to watch. He just runs people right the hell over, and it's beautiful. I love it. I love that. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I'm used to a 250-pound. I'm being nice. 250-pound running back with some quick feet, running people over, looking like a bowling ball, bouncing off of bumper things in the lanes, you know, in Jerome Bettis. Just, I love that type of football. 3 yards, a cloud of dust. A lot of people hate it, and that's okay. No problem. We've moved into the analytical, pass happy, all that stuff. And it's fun to watch too. I get it. But I'm an old school guy when it comes to that. I love watching good defense. And you know, these playoff games were awesome this weekend. Awesome. Because they were all relatively low scoring. Not low scoring, but relatively low scoring. And just grind games. And I love that. That to me is pure football. I love watching guys like Derrick Henry run. I love watching defenses try to stop the run. I mean, that's just I love that. And I love it in the snow and the mud and the rain and all of that too. So I love Derrick Henry. I wish I owned a few more shares of him, but he's also a guy though that it's, the value's going to be volatile with him, because I mean, I think we're safe here for another year and a half to 2 years maybe. But after that, I mean, again, he's already 25 years old. You get running backs that end up being 27 years old, and it's like, that's even worse yet in the community in terms of their value. So, but, and again, right now is his value is sky high based on what he's done the second half of this season and what he did in New England. So, but, I wish I had a few more shares.
I wish you were in, my super flex best ball league that Russ joined last year. 'Cause I have Henry there. I'd love to sell him. And Russ has like 4 first round picks. So maybe Russ,
or hit me up in TA4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brian, Saquon Barkley or Joe Mixon and the 103 in Superflex?
Yeah, I saw that. I voted Barkley.
I figured you would. I saw it and I needed to ask.
Yeah, it's close. I mean, value's there. I think the value's there. I would understand people going the other way, but I wouldn't do it.
Okay, last question. Mountain Top Scouting at MT Scouting. What do you do with a roster that is taking you to the championship round this year, but has multiple pieces that are reaching or have reached the 30-year-old threshold? Do you fire sale those pieces for the right price? That is the opposite of a fire sale, or see how they can take you next year. Okay. So pretty much he's asking, you have a team that brought you to the championship. How do you know whether you blow it up to start over or if you ride into next year also? Does any it sucks that there's no easy answer to this, but does anyone have anything that they can really sort of?
I guess my initial instinct on that, and this kind of, so Rasta started co-owning a team with me in Redlist too that didn't get to the championship, but went pretty far, has a lot of old pieces. And my thoughts on this are generally, and I'm going to relate it to certain players. So I'm going to relate it to players like Adam Thielen, for example. And this wasn't a good year for him because he is injured, but he will still be my example. These are guys who their production is almost always going to outweigh the trade value you can get back for them. And so if I'm in the position where these guys just took me to a championship, I'm probably riding it out because I'm guessing whatever I can get back for them is not going to be worth all that much because people are going to go, oh, their age, maybe I'll give you like a second round pick for them, a late second. And I'm not taking that because I'll just take the chance that they still can perform at 30 or 31. And if my team ends up being in dire straits after that, then I'll start hauling rookie picks, make sure I don't trade away my rookie picks to start rebuilding piece by piece if I have to. But I'm pretty much riding it out at that point.
Yeah, I was pretty much along the lines of what you said. Go into next year, because the thing right now is you are not going to get real value for these old guys. That's the biggest problem right now. So go into next year, try and keep winning, make some moves if they come to you, but like, don't fire sale, don't sell. Like, what's the point of giving up Julian Edelman for a late second? I mean, what's the point of giving up Larry Fitzgerald for a fourth? That's not going to help you rebuild. See if you could win. And if you're halfway through the season, you're 5 weeks in and you're 1-4, maybe then try and see if you can get a young guy or a second for Edelman. Maybe you'll be able to get more. Like, maybe you'll get an early second instead of a late because someone sees Edelman scoring points and will pay a little bit more for him. So I think the best answer is right now, don't do anything with the idea of affecting your point total for next year. If you can get value in a trade, get value in a trade, because that's the point of the non-point scoring season. But I mean, I think to answer it in the words that it was asked, ride it into next year.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I would say differently there, I agree with both of those. I think the one thing that I would say differently is it depends on the 30-year-olds that we're talking about, or 30-plus-year-olds that we're talking about. If we're talking about Julio Jones and Travis Kelce, who are right at 30 years of age and who are still considered stud players and elite players at their position across most dynasty circles, then in that case, you know, maybe you look to sell, but maybe it, you know, but we've talked about this before, Russ. You know, if you're selling Julio Jones, maybe you, and I know you hate position for position trades, but this is a case where I think you might do that, right? So if you can sell Julio Jones for, oh gosh, this is where I always stumble. For who?
DJ Moore was just an example.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people would do that pretty easily from the Julio side. I'm not sure that the DJ Moore people. Allen Robinson. Okay. So if you could sell Julio Jones for Allen Robinson, who might only score 80%, 75 to 80% of the points, the fantasy points that Julio will score next year, and maybe pick up a second round pick or a third round pick, but you gain the 4 or 5 years in age. You know, those are the types of trades I think that you consider making. Can you trade Travis Kelce for Mark Andrews to another contender? You know, can you trade Travis Kelce for TJ Hockenson or Noah Fant and a second or a first or whatever you feel the value is there? Those are the types of trades that I would be, you know, guys that are still going to get you 80% of that production, but then you get another piece to build. You know, because reality, you know, right now we're saying, oh, it'll be 80% of the production. Well, there's no, I mean, it very well could be more production. You just don't know. You know, but yeah, the older guys, Edelman's, the Fitz, you know, those types of players, absolutely. This is not the time to sell those players unless you're getting full value for them. If you're not getting full value for them, hold, wait till you're in season. And you find somebody that's competing that they can add value to the team.
Okay, that's good. I'm done. or in the more professional manner, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. Robert, why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do? Wink. Yeah. Bing.
So as I mentioned earlier, I will be traveling in an RV from Jacksonville to Los Angeles. I am Gardner Minshew. No, you can find me at Rekt Fantasy. That's R-E-K-E-D Fantasy. You can find my work at Dynasty League Football, at DLF Football on Twitter, or DL Football. I always mess that up. And you can find my podcast with my co-host, Matt Price, at Zuperflex. That's Zuperflex with a Z. And that's it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Brian, you've been away for a while. Why don't you hit up all the stuff we do at the end?
Yeah, what's up, guys? I'm Brian Haar, at Brian Haar FF on Twitter. Russ is at Dynasty Outhouse on Twitter. We really appreciate you guys listening in. So the wristbands, because I have them on and I can remember, you can hit either of us up in the DMs. $5 a wristband. We got two colors, the fluorescent green and then the navy with the green lettering. $5, $2 of each bracelet sale or wristband sale goes to Fantasy Cares. You can DM either Russ or I for that. Store Envy.
What's the address? ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com.
There you go. ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. Go get your stickers. Go get your shirts. Bunch of different awesome podcasts over there. Let me see if I can get them. Dynasty Diagnostic, Superflex Super Show, Trade Addicts Pod. The DPFN, right?
No, they have their own shop.
I'm sorry.
Top Shelf DFF has a sticker, and then I wanted some Dynasty Game Night stuff, so I put it in there.
There you go. This is why Russ does this stuff too at the end, just FYI. Okay, so what else we got? Patron, and I don't know that address either, but
Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod.
There you go.
This just also proves that you don't listen to me.
It's the first time this year. I mean, you know, yeah, I don't listen to you.
So how many times did you make the dad joke, I'll see you next year at the end of December?
Oh, at least, I mean, if I could remember, I'd tell you. At least 30. At least 30.
You're the worst.
I'm the best. Are you kidding me? Shane is the worst. No,
you
Shane
said
is the word.
Next decade. You really missed out on an opportunity.
See you next decade.
I should. Oh, damn it, Bobby. Where were you a week ago? Come on, man.
Jeez. On that note, night, Brian.
Night out, Al.
Night, Bobby.
Night, Bobby.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.